I am René Arnoux, and you must to listen like me, F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 536, November 10th, 2011. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads get you the stuff you really want, like diapers, formula, and bottles. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, Ferrari returns to the crime scene. Renault says goodbye, and Lotus says hello, hello, hello. And of course, go to the front page of F1Weekly.com, GrandPrixWeekly.com, or MotorsportsMondial.com, and fill out the survey, Steven.
Survey, 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 survey. Yeah. Survey says.
Exactly. And of course, we'll have Motorsports Mondial with the Karachi Kid, which is going to be fun, and we want to thank Chris Gilbert and Peter Brazier for ordering calendars from us. We really do appreciate it. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Not too bad. So how is it being a papa?
It's been a lot of fun. A little bit of sleep deprivation, as you know, anybody who's had a small one understands. But in general, she's been fantastic. She sleeps like 16 hours a day.
Of course. And
eats the rest of that time.
Rumor has it you did name her after the host, and the middle name is Hamid.
No, middle name is Heloise.
That's
after my
right.
Mother.
I had forgotten. Very good. So we've got Abu Dhabi this weekend. Excitement.
Let's hope one more race
after this. Of course, the excitement is a little lacking because we know Red Bull has wrapped up everything there was to be wrapped.
And didn't McLaren wrap up number two in the constructors last week?
Number
well
two in the
Ferrari
constructors.
Number four, three.
Of course, Jenson Button is hoping to get number two in the Drivers' World Championship. None of these drivers, these people are so competitive that number two really isn't important, but it's something for the team to shoot for.
Right, and it's something for them to strive after. You know, they can't get the win, but, you know, better to be second than third kind of thing. But it's not that big a motivator, I'm sure. You know, it's a race. I think right now for them, it's more a motivation to try and win the race than it is anything else.
Last year, Abu Dhabi was somewhat processional. That's where young Sebastian Vettel wrapped up his first title. And we had Sebastian Vettel being the youngest world champion ever, taking out Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso from that pedestal. And don't forget, we had Vitaly Petrov becoming famous world over because
he was able to balk the Ferrari.
Fernando couldn't get past him. Fernando couldn't win the championship. Fernando. And this race, this track, very Tilke-esque, even though it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's more of an old Tilke design, where there's really no clear zones for passing or thing that really, you know, it's kind of a nice, pretty track, but it's not really a good racetrack.
It is a pretty track. I mean, this is serious prettiness.
Yeah. If you take India was a far better design, much more competitive. You know, those two long straights going into the tough stuff in the back half really, really played well. And then enough elevation change to keep things interesting.
Yes. But this year, Stephen, we have DRS. And Charlie Whiting is confident that the drag reduction system, or DRS, will make this weekend's Abu Dhabi Grand Prix significantly, not just a little bit, Stephen, but significantly more entertaining than last year's race.
One or two zones?
We have two zones.
Okay,
we
have that helps too.
The first one between turn 7 and 8, and the second one is in that kinked straight on turn 11, 12, and 13. And activation zones will be before turn 7, hairpin, and in the middle of turn 8 and 9 at the chicane for the following 11, 12, 13 complex. People are pretty pumped up. They think this is going to help a lot in the passing.
It's definitely
going
to help a lot.
Because last year, and I think Fernando was pretty excited about it as well.
Yeah, the tires should make a difference too. A little bit different compound.
We've got the soft and the medium. Ferrari will be bringing their modified version of the copy of the Red Bull front wing. But this one won't flap anymore.
This one won't try to give you wings.
Yes, which was on, of course, Felipe Massa's car.
That was kind of scary watching that thing when it was going down the track. Spark, 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 spark,
yeah,
spark, spark.
It was bewildering, but they called it the problem a quality control issue and not necessarily a engineering or design problem.
Yeah, it definitely looked like somebody maybe left out one or two layers of the carbon fiber because it was just soft.
It was soft and spongy, and it looked like it was made out of bologna. But nevertheless, both cars will have the new copy of the Red Bull style front wing. They're focused because they think that front wing is significantly making that Red Bull so dominant. And Ferrari wants to be in front next year. Montezemolo's had it up to here, Stephen.
Yeah, could be that's given them advantage because we've seen that, especially in India where they weren't even close to being fastest in the straights, but they were still kicking everybody's butt in lap times.
Yeah, and Ferrari, once again, when Montezemolo's not winning, the old threats come out. Ferrari, without Ferrari Formula One is nothing, and Ferrari without Formula One is, well, they're still pretty cool, but they need Formula One. That's how they get their cutting-edge technology and their development. So, and of course, this was at the big Ferrari party they have it every year, the finale. I can't remember what it's called, but the horse whisperer came out on Monday and he said that Montezemolo's comments were not to be interpreted as a threat, but rather as a constructive talk to help Formula One better, Stephen.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, Ferrari and the other manufacturers need to kind of kick the FIA to make sure that they're paying attention and also to kind of keep Bernie in the ballpark and not basically trying to do things to, shorten their leashes.
Yep. The last two races, it'll be the last time we see Lotus, Renault, I can't remember what they're called. Lotus GP, Lotus Renault GP. I think that's it. Lotus Renault GP, yes. Lotus Renault GP is no more. It's just going to be Lotus.
Okay, what does that mean for the other Lotus?
The other team Lotus will now be called Caterham.
Okay.
Which is nice. No more confusion. Paint schemes will be different.
Well, they were, but
yeah, but I'm not sure what Renault will be running. Well, it's going to take me years. Well, I just got over Pedro de la Rosa.
Yeah, the Lotus is going to be still running Renault power plants and gearboxes.
Both teams will still be running Renault power plants and gearboxes, but that's meaningless because next year Williams will be powered by Renault, and everybody can get their old hats. Well, out of the closet.
They got their Williams Renault hats.
Yes. Which we know I have one.
Yes.
And I'll be wearing that at the beginning of the 2012 season. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yes, no more suing each other. This is over with. The names are settled. And I'm really happy about that because at the beginning of the season, it was a bit distracting.
Yeah, kind of weird. Two cars running with that Lotus logo on the nose. You're going, hey, what?
I hope F1 Weekly financially is doing better next year. Because I would really love to go to this Abu Dhabi race. That hotel looks absolutely charming.
We're going to have to do a heck of a lot better for you to be able to afford a room in that hotel.
I see tons of calendars laying around the studio. We need to sell them, Stephen.
Sell. Buy a calendar.
Exactly. Okay, now Derek Warwick, he's been confirmed as the driver steward for the FIA this weekend. He's the former Tolman, Renault, Arrows, Lotus, and Footwork driver. And this will be the second time this season
that he's held that responsibility?
Correct. And I just want to remind people who the stewards are all season long, this 2011 season. For Australia, it was Johnny Herbert. In Malaysia, we went with Emmanuel Pirro. Then in China, they couldn't get rid of Pirro because he loved the job so much that he stuck it around, and Emmanuel was in
probably
China.
Probably easier to just bring him on to China than to, you know, fly somebody else in.
Exactly.
You know how Bertie likes to pinch pennies.
Not only that, but fitting the, you know, the shirt fittings and all that, it's expensive. Yeah, if you see those FIA stewards, I mean, those shirts
very
are clean, starched.
Nicely dressed.
Oh, very, very impressive. Yes.
What is the well-dressed steward wearing this year?
No, when I was in Canada, I bumped into Emerson Fittipaldi, who was the steward, and I was very impressed. The shirt had lots of starch. Very nice. Very nice. For Turkey, we had Derek Warwick. For Spain, we had Mark Blundell. Monaco was Alan McNish. Fittipaldi, Canada, as I just said. Europe was my friend Hans Harald Frentzen. Great Britain, we have, who else? Nigel Mansell. Tom Christensen was for Germany. Alan McNish again for Hungary. Belgium, we brought back Nigel Mansell. Italy was Derek Daly, and I'm happy to see that. I think they even bought him a new pair of shoes that weekend. Singapore, we had Hans Harald Frentzen again. Alan Jones for Korea. And Johnny Herbert was back in India because he really loves Indian food, and he insisted.
He loves his curry and his chutney.
So there you have it. Lots of repeat stewards. Which somewhat surprises me.
Well, it's to be kind of expected because, you know, you don't want to have to, you know, the briefing, I'm sure, is time consuming, and it's easier to just do that once.
Yeah, but there are others.
There are tons of people.
Now, there's one that I'm dying to see back in action in Formula One as a steward.
Giancarlo Fisichella?
Giancarlo Fisichella would be good, but no.
Takuma Sato?
No, I got better. Michael Andretti.
Ooh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Or heck, bring back his old man.
Well, one thing at a time. But Michael Andretti, you know, we could get him a passport. It'd be fun.
Yeah, probably hard to get him a passport.
Yeah, probably.
Probably on a no-fly list somewhere.
And Mario Andretti certainly...
Mario would be... You know who Mario would be the perfect steward for? Would be for the first race in Austin.
Yes. And you've seen that they don't only... Sometimes they'll get a non-F1 driver steward. I think that should open up that can of worms. Let's get, you know, F5000 drivers out here.
Yeah. Somebody from the old days.
Oh, it would be wonderful. David Hobbs.
There you go.
Yes.
Hey, how about let's get a race engineer instead? Let's bring in Magic.
So there you have it. Lots of suggestions. I'm looking forward to this Grand Prix. I think it's going to be fun. The DRS zone promises to add some excitement. And, of course, it's the first time with the Pirelli tires.
Yeah. So let's hope it's more interesting than it was, you know, last year, because that was the only thing that made last year's race exciting was the fact that it was going to decide the championship.
And Vitaly Petrov pissing off Fernando. But still, this should be interesting because we do have some young drivers fighting for a seat. And I think the big one is going to be Force India. Who stays there? Most of the talk is Rubens Barrichello and Adrian Sutil will be out of a 2012 F1 seat for sure.
Or at least
Hülkenberg taking over for
Sutil.
Correct. And Rubinho will be gone. And Sutil could also go to Williams. Rubinho, very possibly, if Kubica doesn't put it together, go to Renault. You never know. Eric Boullier makes strange decisions, and I'm not even going to get involved.
Do we think the Finn is going to come back?
Yes. Kimi Raikkonen will be at Williams next year. I saw it on a box of Häagen-Dazs today at my local grocer.
Have you seen this man? Wanted for an F1 seat.
Yes, so there you have it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Motorsports Mondial after this brief message from Bell Auto Care.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Karachi Kid himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. Rowdy Bush was very naughty. You know what happened to him.
I heard.
And what a finish we had at the MotoGP race in Valencia, España. Did you see any of that?
I saw all of everything.
Including the NASCAR race from Tejas.
No, I only saw highlights of the NASCAR race because I can't watch a complete NASCAR race. I get too fidgety, even with a bucket of lifesavers.
No, what you do is you put a bottle of Advil and a bottle of Tylenol, and then just every five laps, take a pill, and you'll be all right.
That's so beautiful, NASCAR.
No, what you do is you DVR it, and then you just fast forward, you know, like one, so that it's going twice as fast as it would be, so that it seems like it's going more quickly. And then when you see something interesting happen, you can hit play to get to hear what's going on, and then you can fast forward again once they start the race over.
Well, last time I DVR'd a NASCAR race, I subconsciously sped through all the race and saved the commercials.
You know, I was going to say that. That would be the most fun. But this is what happens when we're towards the end of the season. Most of the racing championships are over. This is a slow news day. But anyway, going back to the MotoGP race, final race of the season, and, you know, Marco Simoncelli's dad had requested, instead of a minute of silence, do a minute of noise. So they did that, revved up all the engines. So it was good that they listened to his dad's wishes. And the race was very, very, very impressive. Stoner had it all. And then I think like three laps from the end, our man from Tejas, Ben Spies, he took the lead. And then he pulled up a little bit of a cushion, enough where it was obvious that he's going to win. And then two laps to go, it was pretty obvious he was going to win. And last lap, the commentators were saying that it's going to have a second win, and everything was looking good. But on the last corner, it was like a drag race. It was just like Jerez 1986 between Senna and Arnaige. And even Stoner's people and wife, they were all surprised that he was able to pull it off. And just by a whisker, he won. So he started the season by winning the opening race, ended the season by winning the race. He had a pretty tremendous season. I think he had like 10 wins, won both the MotoGP races here in the U.S., Laguna Seca and Indy, and also won the home race at Phillip Island, which I think is a fabulous track. And I think he has won like 5 years in a row there. So it was a great race, and of course, Spies was second. And Mr. Senior Andrea Dovizioso, who is also a Honda rider like Stoner, he finished third, and finishing ahead of another Honda rider, Mr. Danny Pedrosa, he finished third in the championship. And both Ducati riders, Mr. Rossi and Nicky Hayden, they were taken out on the first corner. So these things happen. But, you know, the MotoGP season starts in Qatar under the lights. And that's a nice little track at Losail. And I have a itching to go to that race someday. It's not too far from home anyway. And at night time, it's not too hard there. But I'll tell you, we'll talk about Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. I was there last year. I was at the track on Saturday. And that place can get hot even in November. So, and what else we had? There was a very nice race, FIA GT, second last race of the season. And the guy who won the race, both of these drivers who won in a Chevy Corvette, this was their first win. And the names are, one of them is familiar, Francesco Pastorelli. He's the brother of Nicky Pastorelli, who I think raced here at Champ Cars, or at least did some appearance in the U.S., and his teammate was Jelmer Burman, and then Mr. Lucas Lohr and his German co-partner. They were second in a Sumo Nissan, whatever that model is, GTR, which is very popular these days. So they won the championship. And another big news in the world of motor racing is Hack is back, Mr. Mika Hakkinen. This weekend is this Le Mans Series race in Zhuhai, whatever it's called, in China. And he's going to drive in the GT3 category, one of these Mercedes, SLS, AMG, I don't know how many numbers they have. But nice-looking car, and he'll be back in action, so it'll be good to see Mika Hakkinen. And, of course, Rowdy Bush behaved very badly. Did you catch any of this? Because it was all over the news.
It was. He just sort of lost his head a little bit.
Yeah, he's a tremendous, tremendous racing talent. But, you know, you cannot fight the city hall all the time. and get away with it. And he should learn from Jeremy Mayfield. You know, some years ago he was thrown out from NASCAR for some drug, did not pass the test, and he started, oh, your equipment is not good, this and that, and he's out. And then last week he was arrested for more drug possession. And when the police went to his palatial residence in somewhere in North Catawba County, I believe, in North Carolina, they found, this was pretty sad, they found, apparently he has a big place and all that, he had stolen items like truck parts and other mechanical stuff, which were reported stolen from local businesses. So it's a pretty sad deal there. I always liked him and some of the drivers, but I hope he can put his life back in together. But going back to Mr. Busch, he needs to be careful. He's run into a lot of issues, tremendous racing talent, like I said. And last thing he needs is getting banned from NASCAR.
Well, I don't think he's going to be banned. I think he's such a talent, they're going to need him. He draws a big crowd.
Everybody has a cup that has its limit, let me tell you that. And what happened, I read today that sponsor, Mars company, and M&M people, and even Toyota, they are not, first time I've heard from these people that they are also not happy. You know,
the, no
you
one's bigger to, than the sport.
Yeah, and actually, this is what Bill France Sr. used to tell Dale Earnhardt Sr. when he would make some waves. He was a pretty outspoken guy. And I was actually watching a program with Dale Earnhardt Sr. once, and he said that Bill France once came up to him and told him, nobody is bigger than the sport. What they can do, they don't even have to ban him, but if the sponsors say, hey, bring another driver and you lose a nice ride, then the career can end very quickly, as Mr. Rubinho might find out soon.
Exactly. So let's go to Abu Dhabi. There are some driver silly season things going to happen. Do you think Hülkenberg will definitely take Adrian Sutil's seat?
Okay, I'll tell you what happened. Last year, somebody who I know and who was very good friends with Nico Hülkenberg told me that this was actually before the season started. He said Nico has a seat as a test driver, and 2012 it will be a driver's seat. And then, it was a long time ago, and so I contacted him recently. Actually, I was chatting with him, and I said, hey, can you confirm this between us girls? And he says, I already told you last year. He said when he signed the contract last year, this is what he's saying, when he signed the contract as a test driver, it included a clause that, keep in mind who was, right now he has a different manager, but back then his manager was Willy Weber, and this is the guy who outfoxed the fox of the English jungle, the Robin Hood jungle. What was his jungle now? Do you remember the name?
No.
Anyway, whatever it was, he outfoxed this guy, Eddie Jordan. If you can pull a fast one on Eddie Jordan, then Vijay Mallya for Sunday should be a piece of Black Forest cake,
Absolutely.
So I think Nico is in, and the Williams situation is very interesting.
You mean this, Kimi Raikkonen?
Senior. That thing is now so strong that I think Kimi is coming back. And people are even referring to the purple stripes on the Williams. Apparently, Frank Williams, his team really took off when he got a sponsorship from Saudi. Okay, and who was involved with Saudi, and may not be exactly with Saudi, but in that program with Williams-Saudi partnership, Mansoor Oje, the tag group. The same guy who's now involved with... And this is some serious money. He's involved with the royal families of the Arabian area and all that. So I've been hearing that, Frank Williams has spent a lot of time in Qatar. They have put together a, technology center there to train their people there. And they are very keen in getting a, nobody's going to give you $30-40 million and you bring in Billy Bob Joe, who cannot drive a race car. So they are interested in getting Kimi. And this is so strong now that I think this will happen. And the other thing was, there are many other drivers trying to get that seat, some not so serious, some serious. One of them was Jules Bianchi, a friend of F1 Weekly. An interesting situation is he is managed by Nicola Todd, and so is Pastor Maldonado. And a comment was made, it'll be hard to believe that a team will have two drivers being managed by the same person. That has happened before with Senna and Prost being managed by Julian Jacoby, but I wouldn't call Pastor Maldonado and Jules Bianchi in the same league right now as Alain Prost and Ayrton Senna. You know what I'm saying? So it's very interesting, and you know, you mentioned the Lotus team, the final result. This is good, so we know who is who. They are, you know, we're having these young driver test programs. So Alexander Rossi from California, he will be testing a Formula One car with Tony Lotus. Fernandez. Lotus, Caterham, Ayrshire, who knows what they will be called. Maybe he should just call his racing team Queen Park Ranger, the football team. You know, he also owns that now. So it's very exciting. Let's see what happens. The guy who I think, the people who are really feeling the heat are two Toro Rosso drivers and Mr. Daniel Ricciardo. And I have a feeling that Jean-Éric Vannes is in next year. I'm not, this is just my personal, because the way he has performed, you know, the guy is out of control. And it's one thing, you know, to dominate Formula BMW and then don't dominate Formula 3. But when you dominate British F3, you start rattling cages from day one in your first World Series by Renault race, which he did last year. And this year, be the man, almost won the championship. I have a feeling that this kid is in, and he's very good. So it will be either at the expense of Jaime Alguersuari or Sebastian Buemi, and let's see what happens with Daniel Ricciardo.
Of course, we have the ongoing saga. The excitement is building up because we're closing in on the end of the season. Massa and Hamilton, will they get together in a closed room and hug and kiss each other, or will the fight go on?
Well, you know, I think season is over, championships are decided, they have nothing to lose. I say let's have another couple of, you know, contretemps, you know, he's at fault, I'm at fault, I saw him, I didn't see him, and then maybe, too bad, Hamilton does not speak Portuguese, no, not Portuguese, let's say German or Finnish, so him and Massa could argue in a third language like Massa did. That was classic Massa and Alonso. And talking of Alonso, do you think he's going to take this race seriously this time?
Well, I think as long as Vitaly Petrov stays out of his way.
Yeah, this time should not be a problem.
Yes, we have DRS zones. I think passing will be a lot easier this year. And I think it's going to be a good race.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But, you know, Sebastian Vettel, man, this guy is, you know, like we talked about last time, he's in the Schumacher zone. Every time he starts a race, it's a new record. Every time he wins a race, some sort of a record is breaking. And now he is only two races remaining. If he wins both races, which he's fully capable of, he will equal Schumacher's record of 13 wins in a season, which will be very impressive. So now he is looking, he's already world champion, already has 11 wins, wants to get 13. Do you think this guy has any room in his heart to let his teammate win a race?
No.
Achtung, no.
This is not...
No. The only way Weber wins a race is if he wins a race. Yeah. He's going to have to take it away from Vettel. Vettel's not going to give it.
Yeah, and then McLaren's new number one driver, Jenson Button, has some interest in winning another race.
Absolutely. But no, Mark... And that's what's interesting. Unlike the Schumacher-Rubinho era, when we'd seen it a number of times when Schumacher would allow Rubinho to win, and it was awkward on the podium. That's never going to happen at Red Bull. That is something that's never going to happen. Yeah. Vettel will continue to dominate, and Mark Webber, as a man, would never want to be handed a win. Mm-hmm. Ever, ever, ever. So that's not going to happen, but still it's going to be interesting. And you're right. I mean, I don't even ask for predictions from Steve or yourself, because really, the money's on Sebastian Vettel to get pole, the race, and fastest lap for the next two races.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I was looking
at... Mark Webber steal that from him? In India? Took away the Grand Slam?
At the end of the race?
Yeah.
No, he got it back.
Did he get it back?
He got it back.
Yeah. On the last lap, yeah.
Against rules and regulations. The team said, you know, just stay calm.
Right.
Don't do things you don't need to be doing, and he did it anyway because he's machismo.
Well, no, that, but to do it in that race and be the first one to actually do it in a long time.
He's the new Teutonic Knight.
Yeah, he is. It was he became the youngest to get the, you know, pole, fastest lap, and race win. So this is what was happening with Schumacher. You know, yeah. Every time he starts a race, it's a new record, some sort.
Yeah, and what's unbelievable, he's still so motivated to at each race, even though he's got the world championship. I mean, there's nothing stopping Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel as a unit.
And, you know, I think it was mentioned on one of the speed broadcasts during the race, and it was not probably before Indian Grand Prix, that Sebastian Vettel has led now more laps or more miles than Jenson Button has in his entire career. So it's
this season alone.
Just season, yeah, of course, yeah, just yeah. And that is, I mean, just he's having a tremendous season.
Yeah, not only is he going to break records, but he will make records. I mean, that's inevitable.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, he has two championships already. And I mean, if the car holds up and next season and it's competitive, then you know, he doesn't have to worry about his teammate.
Well,
let's something Jensen and now Lewis both have to.
Correct. So
they're not in a privileged position as some drivers who shall remain nameless.
But I expect Fernando to do better next year. I think Ferrari is going to up the ante. There's a lot of pressure at Maranello, especially from Luca and the board to.
Oh, he is the board, basically.
I know, but I'm trying to be nice to the other people.
Yeah. No, I mean, of course he will be very competitive if they give him a nice car, and it'll be, it's always good to see.
We know they can do it.
Yeah. And then let's see how Kimi Raikkonen does.
Did they say they weren't going to follow Red Bull's lead or something earlier in the season? Now they're building the wing to match Red Bull?
Well, we'll see what happens, but still, exciting races ahead. Abu Dhabi and the final race in Brazil. Very exciting.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about Nico Hülkenberg going back to the Force India situation, this is, you know, I've talked to quite a few drivers, you know, if things are not working out for you towards getting to Formula One, you really need a change in direction. I mean, you look at people like Will Power, Elio Castroneves, Tony Kanaan, Dario Franchitti, even poor Dan Weldon. I mean, these people made it very big here, very successful. And, you know, there are a lot of drivers in. I mean, there are some drivers who are very good. They're going to be in GP2 next year, their third year. And in 2 years, these drivers have won, like, a race or maybe two. And that's a reverse grid, you know, when you're starting from pole and it's a 30-minute race or something like that. I mean, you know, that's not a Formula One material. You know, there are a lot of drivers like Marcus Ericsson, Marco Wittmann from Germany. If they come here and race, especially in Indy Lights, they should not have a problem in cleaning up everybody's clock. Ovals, they may have to take a few, you know, hits and learn the ropes, but they can do very well. But there's no point in, you know, because now I'm told that GP3 season is almost close to $3 million. So if you're doing there for 3 years, you spend about $8-9 million, and that can get you two seasons of decent IndyCar team. And talking of IndyCar, Baltimore may say no more. Typical, you know, this organization. The race I was out of the country. The race apparently was a big success. Drivers liked it. Fans loved it. City liked it, but now the city's a wee bit pissed off. Because their bills have not been paid. You know, they've arranged the security and police, and you need some security in Baltimore, or, of course, any other place. And some
up and all that stuff.
See. And the vendors, I mean, more than one entity is crying for money. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, they even called it the Monaco of America because it's a port city. There's some nice views there.
Oh, yeah.
But in the end, when there's a city involved, finances involved, just like the San Jose Grand Prix, what a coincidence, what a surprise.
Well, the mayor of Baltimore should page the mayor of San Jose and ask him to please pick up the white courtesy phone or whatever the color of their courtesy phone is. You know, these people need to do serious due diligence before they do these things, you know, that, oh, bring this, you know, in 5 years you will make $30 million net profit. You know, yeah, if you are so sure, why don't you write me a guarantee bond or a surety bond, then if I don't make this, you'll reimburse me. And, you know, it's very silly to waste taxpayers' money and then cry about stuff like this.
Well, ultimately, if they made money on the race, then they should be paying their bills. You should be going after them because that means that they're keeping the cash in their pocket instead of paying for what the services they were rendered. And again, it comes down to, you got to kind of look at the people that you're dealing with to start with, you know. And also, if you're putting in a big race like that, you expect to make the money in tax revenues, not necessarily in payments from the organizers.
Well, obviously, if there was so much tax receipts, they wouldn't be complaining. But, you know, a lot of these people who promote are promoters. They're not racing people. And, you know, they should look into, you know, I mean, you know, there's a reason there's not a Formula One race in France and, you know, why Belgium has a problem. I mean, it's not easy dishing out $30, $40 million of, you know, state money. And we look at all the financial schmazel going everywhere. I mean, you know, like in Spain, they built all these new tracks, fantastic tracks, Aragon, this and that, you know, Valencia Street Circuit. These are not $5 million projects. These are $50, $100 million projects. What is, you know, who's paying for it? Somebody has to answer some questions.
And then you
should
have a pretty sanctioning fee on top of that.
Yeah. And, you know, what really it amazes me. Okay, fine, it's a glamorous show, you pay $40 million, fine and dandy. You have global TV, hundreds of millions. I mean, you've seen how NASCAR, when the NFL contracts are signed, it's hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah. Right? NASCAR, same way. Formula One, same way. You got advertising, you got hot dog sale, T-shirt sale. The track owner gets nothing of it, not even 0.5% of anything, except from the ticket sales.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Abu Dhabi. They spend. I mean, you really have to look
at food and drink concession. But
no. Everything goes to this company called All Sport that handle the paddock club and all that.
Yeah, then that's BS.
Yeah, it is.
If they're paying that kind of sanctioning fee, they should be getting some return.
Well, I think FOTA should also insist on some tracks having to be on the schedule.
It's a FIA requirement also.
Because Spa obviously has financial difficulties, but it's such a fantastic track. It should be and should have enough. It should have enough jewels in its crown to demand some of those TV revenues. I believe it does.
Being able to, you know, take a percentage of the concessions, you know.
Absolutely. And I think some of these tracks, of course, if you have a Turkey or a Korea, Bernie's going to drop them, and those aren't really necessary for quality Formula One season.
Apparently, the Korean Grand Prix, if they don't want to get into further deep kimchi, no pun intended, apparently Turkey will be the first replacement.
Correct.
Fantastic track.
Great track in the European
time zone, so to speak.
Exactly, which works out well. And Korea just doesn't have the passion or...
Well, you know, I think in all these countries, no matter where you go, you can always find. I mean, where I come from, there is a lot of people who are interested in Formula One. Yeah, percentage-wise, would be very small, but same in America. You know, you cannot compare American F1 fans with NASCAR fans, but it's still millions of people. I think the problem is the ticket prices. I mean, you know, three, four.
Well, then you're also looking at a much smaller population base, too, than in Korea than there is in the United States.
Yeah, but
if there's 1% of F1 fans in the United States population versus 1% in the Korean population, that's a whole lot different number.
Yeah, but I mean, when you start charging $300-$400, that's a lot. I'll give you an example that was in the news today that there is, I think it's on December 5th, there is a go-kart track called Daytona Milton Keynes, not very far from Mr. Brazier's palatial palace, and they're doing a Dan Weldon Memorial. All the proceeds will go to the charity Alzheimer's Association because, you know, his mom had that disease. And somebody wrote as like, you know, when people put like a forum type deal, somebody put the tickets are like £175. I mean, that basically takes out, you know, the hardcore.
Now, Jensen,
Dario Franchitti will be there, Anthony Davidson, Jensen Button, and these are kids who all race there. So there's, I'm sure there's a lot of following and old friends. But when you have that kind of money, six-pack Joe or six-pack Guinness is out of the question.
I think that's where the BRDC or the GPDA, they should get together and the drivers should demand some of these promotional gigs be affordable.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
you
they're
know,
not, they don't need any money.
But, you know, like as somebody once made a comment on such issues, it says, you know, it always boils down to one thing, and that's money. And that's what it is. You know, it's like, remember when this FOTA thing was going on some years ago, and they wanted to have a breakaway series. And what comes out, Bernie Ecclestone says, well, we pay Ferrari 10% extra, they should not complain. So what happened, that's how they bought their silence. So if, you know, these tracks like Spa or Monaco or some other, you know, crown jewel tracks, if they form an association, hey, you need to bring down, you know, they'll probably go and pay Monaco people another $15 million, and, you know, they will break the alliance, you know.
I like that.
So it's money talks.
Union busting.
Yeah. That's the way it is.
Keep up the good work, Nash. Thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And let's go right into the wrap-up. And we're starting our wrap-up today with our review of the one and only 2012 Motorsports Memories calendar. And we're on page 2, Nasser. Olivier Panis.
Yeah, for Genoa. Olivier Panis, yeah, well, you know, team, of course, for the calendar is one and only. So his one and only victory was Monaco. And I was watching that race, and I remember when he came into the pits, it was very timely and, you know, very opportunistic. And we all three people sitting there said, you know, Panis is going to win the race now, which was a great win. Very popular French driver, you know, French speaking area, French Gitan. Team, Gitan, Ligier. And, you know, beautiful world. You know, I ran into him at the Lyon airport, in the security line of Lyon airport, and our flight was like 45 an hour later. So I said, hey, can we do an interview? And he was very cooperative, as he was at Le Mans a couple of years ago. So we started talking and, you know, sitting in Lyon, not too far from Monte Carlo. So I asked him about his win, and he was very excited. And the thing that he really told me was that he says, a few laps to go, I was running low on fuel, and I had people yelling and screaming in my helmet in French, because of the French dream, Japanese because Mugen Honda, and English because a lot of Anglais engineers working there. And so that was very interesting. So that's his for January, Olivier Panis. Olivier over Blue Moon. It's a very nice, impressive shot. And I thank all the people who have ordered and who will order. And next week we'll turn the page.
Exactly. There you go. Next week, page 3. And of course, we've got the artwork on the front page, and they can go to the merchandise page. And there it is, $15.95 plus shipping and handling. Thank you, NASA.
Layaway programs are also available.
But wait. Oh.
Yes.
Exactly. Anyway, thanks a lot, Nasser.
Welcome.
Once again, check out the listener survey on the front page. Just click on it. You know you want to. San Francisco Formula One Group, sff1.com. That's where Nasser and I had met. And, of course, they get together every race, eat and drink and have a good time. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. They're wrapping their season up with a big, beautiful banquet next weekend. Cameron Karting is offering CRG carts, engines and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, simply contact Cameron Karting. .com. I want to mention our Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and MySpace sites. Do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who's ordered a calendar and who listens to the program. Good night.
Good night.
Bye now.